All right. God is good.
Amen.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Amen. Let's look at our text today, Romans chapter 13, verse 8 through 14. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 through 14. I know this is not entitled the message today, putting on the Christ Jesus. Putting on Christ Jesus. But before I, that is my title that I came up with for the sermon today. But I thought this was really good when I said it. You could judge me all you want, but I'm gonna say it anyway. See if it's good or not. If you are at rock bottom, look below you and know that Jesus is your bottom rock.
Woo!
Woo! That's right.
Oh, man.
Woo! That's good. All right, let me say it. If you are at rock bottom, Jesus is your bottom rock. Is that better?
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Okay, yes. That's not the title of the message today, but I came up with it in two drinks. Again, a lot of people are feeling that way. I may not agree. Whether you are at rock bottom, whether you feel like you were heading towards the rock bottom, but just sometimes we forget that Jesus is our bottom rock. Jesus is our foundation. So He is always telling us to, you know, look behind, you look beyond, but you look below you, look around you, and just step on Me, and then I will strengthen you, I will help you, and I will heal you, and I will rescue you. So again, all of us are in a different life stages. And then we all know that. And wherever you are, whatever the life journey you are in, don't you ever forget that Jesus is bottom rock.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen. Amen. Come on now. Come on.
Amen.
All right. All right. I was an EM pastor at a church in Portland while I was a student in seminary. And you know, I'm all about the gospel. I'm all about Christ Jesus. I'm all about returning to the Word of God.
Amen.
And as I was preaching that every week, one of the members came up to me. He's in his early 50s, have two beautiful children, working at a bank as a regional branch bank manager, have a comfortable house, comfortable life, and he was bringing a bacon to the house and bringing a bacon to the table. I'm having always a hard time saying bringing the bacon to the table, bringing kimchi on the table. All right, bringing the bacon on the table, and he came up to me and said, Pastor Johnny, and I've been listening to your sermon all week, and then, you know, week after week. And I'm so empty, in a good way, because, you know, I have all this comfortable life, and then not even knowing where I'm heading. And then I thought being a good father, being a good husband, being a good person, coming to church every week, I thought that was good enough. And yet, I feel so empty and broken inside. I said, what do I need to do to do more? As if, you know, it feels like, you know, just living this life, just working and doing, and then they just move to the house that are better than where they were, and because it's more, and then move away a little bit for the education for their children and such. So again, and I feel so convicted every time I come to church. It feels like I'm not doing the right thing. What do I need to do? When Brother Deacon shared that to me, my heart was joy. I feel the joy, because this is what I told him to. This is what I told him, brother. When you come to worship, God created us to declare His goodness over our life. Mm-hmm. And when you come to worship and you just get soaked in the love of God, and you just get filled with the Holy Spirit, that's what God is telling us to do. So if you get caught up, again, I'm gonna connect it in our passage today. If you get caught up on fulfilling the law as if that is what God is commanding us to do, we'll fail. We will fill with empty. We will feel void. We do it out of obligation. We become legalistic, religious people. And it's ultimately the love. Yeah. It's ultimately the love of God that's telling us to be filled. And this is what we are doing. The praise and prayer, the message you are about to give. I proclaim the God's word. How many of you do this God's word?
Amen.
Amen.
I am proclaiming the God's word over you so that God's word will just overtake you and just get soaked in the Word of God. Hallelujah. I'm getting goosebumps because I'm so cold right now. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 through 14. This is the title that I put for the message today. Putting on Christ Jesus. Putting on right, Jesus. Let's look at verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves other has fulfilled the law. I know I didn't read the verse 1 through 7, but chapter 13 started off saying that you got to be in submission to the authority. As God is authority, and you have to be submission to that all authority that God has placed over you. If you owe an honor, make sure you give the honor. If you owe a tax, then you make sure you pay tax. Submit to all authority. And we, as a believers, we as a brothers, we as a man of God and woman of God standing before the Lord, and we have to have a discerning heart to what places the Lord and what doesn't. And it says, owe no one anything but to love one another. And that is what to fulfill the law. God loves us. And it is ultimately the love that He sent Christ Jesus to us. And again, we often forget that how much we're being loved. Why? Because when we are living in this carnal, the flesh desires of this body that we're wearing, we often forget that what are we doing in this life? That, you know, we often forget the purpose, the meaning of our life. That God created us to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God created us to declare God's faithfulness over our problems and struggles and everything that we in our relationship, that everything we encountering, God is telling us to proclaim His faithfulness.
Amen.
And it's love of God that we could overcome. But at the same time, listen to me. The world, it'll try to twist the definition of the love. The world defines love in any way they want. The love, the world, they try to give a different meaning to love. But I'm talking here the absolute, the sacrificial, the unconditional, the truth, the love of God that He has done, He has had for you this morning.
Amen.
And that is why it's so important as we come together as a body, as a brothers and sisters in Christ, we gather in worship to draw closer to the love of God. Verse 9. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment as summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. You know why Israelites failed? You know why Israelites disobeyed God? Because they were keeping the law as law. When God has given His scripture, when God has given us His word, it is out of the love. Because if without this word, then we will be clueless to living in this world. We would not know what pleases God and what hardens our God's heart. So God has given us His word, and so to live a discernful life on this earth, and yet Israelites were just keeping it as a mere law. Oh, do not commit adultery. Okay, check. Oh, do not commit a murder. Check. Oh, do not covet or do not steal. Check, check, check. So I'm a good person. But the reality is that we are sinful desires. So if we are keeping this as a law, then we will fail. And we'll come to ultimately to a point of grudging and blaming others as if that, you know, I'm good, but it's everyone else's fault. I'm good, but it's the government's fault. It's the government's fault. So I'm protesting as if I'm protecting my own life. But yet, Scripture says, obey the authority. Obey God. So you got to listen carefully. Let's just measure your heart right now. Do you have love of God in you?
Mm-hmm.
And to the one, to you who has been broken, who is experiencing a broken relationship, God says, love.
Mm.
To you who are in the midst of darkness, in the storm, that it feels like it's a never-ending story, God says, have love. And again, I pray that you hear me clearly. I'm not talking about the love as emotion. I'm not talking about the love as attitude. I'm talking about God's absolute love, the love of God. God says, come to me and embrace that love.
Mm.
So that you can release it. And to you who are just having a mediocre life, who are having just nothing exciting, nothing really new, and you lost the passion, you lost the love of God, God says, the love, he says, the love is a fulfillment of the law. The Christ Jesus is the fulfillment of the law, not as to, okay, as a person to just come and just put a checklist on, oh, put a checklist next to the law. And Jesus says, no, I am the law. Unless you have the heart of me, says Jesus, you will not know me, says the Lord. How could you say that you love me and you hate your brothers? And Jesus is telling us this morning, to all of us, including myself, telling us that to come, have the love. Have the heart of me, says Jesus. God is not looking for religious people. God is looking for a relational person who will have love. You know, if Christ Jesus is, when Christ Jesus is the bridegroom, and as we are the bride of the church, that is a love relationship we're talking here. Are we not? God says, I love you, so I'm sending you my beloved son. It's not ultimately just to save us from our sin, but God says, no, it's ultimately, before you knew me, I love you. So I'm saying it is out of love. Let's not get so legalistic about that. Oh, it's just, God trying to save me out of, forgiving my sin. Yes, that's all good. But ultimately, if you are missing out the point of the scripture, it's all about love.
Yeah.
And again, if you are trying to do it on our own strength, we will fail. We will utterly fail. Do you have love of God in you? The scripture says, if you profess and confess out of your heart and out of your mouth, if you believe in your heart that God has raised Christ Jesus up to death, and if you profess it out of your heart, out of your lips, that Jesus is Savior, Jesus is risen, then scripture says, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, you are saved, and now you are a child of God. Hallelujah. Then you are a man, you are a children of Christ Jesus. Then there's a Holy Spirit living in you. And now there's a Holy Spirit, and there's a desire of flesh constantly fighting within you. There's a love of God in you, and at the same time, there is also desires of the flesh that are fighting against the love of God to make sure that the love of the desire of the flesh will become greater. To make you to become more legalistic, to make you become more religious. And again, it is up to you to feed the Holy Spirit, if you will. So as you are reading the scripture, not out of the law, not out of that because Pastor Johnny asked you to do it, not because someone else told you to do it, just not as because you feel bad if you don't. Out of love, read the scripture. Out of love, you come to the inner fellowship. Out of love, you come to worship. Out of love, you pray. When you feed the Holy Spirit, what happens? The fruit of the Holy Spirit, Galatians chapter 6, verse 22 and 23, the fruit of the Holy Spirit will display the love, patience, joy, the faithfulness, goodness. What are these things are? These are the things that this world is lacking right now. This is the thing that the world is saying, that we are living in the heartless, the cold-blooded, the evil, the injustice, unrighteous, you name it, all of those things, in the world we're living in. Unless we've been filled with the Holy Spirit, unless we filled with the love of God, we're not able to make it. Not only that, we are already being persuaded by the desire of the flesh instead to say that, it's not my fault that I'm doing this. It's not my fault that I'm feeling this. It's not my fault that I was born into this situation. I was born into this family, broken family. I was born into this life that I'm living right now. So it's not my fault. It's everyone else's fault. And we have to be careful that we are religionized our gospel. We have to be careful that we don't religionize the gospel. The gospel as a tool to just simply drop it on the knees of someone who doesn't believe and walk away. It is out of love. It is out of love that outreach thing goes out at every Sabbath. Not as an obligation, It is out of love that we gather. It is out of love that we do. So this morning, where are you? I'm not talking about your physical body right now. Where are you right now? God is knocking on your heart. Where is the love of me in your heart? John chapter 15 says, then if you come and dwell in me, then I will dwell in you, says the Lord, says Jesus. Where is the love of God in us? Verse 11. Besides this, besides this, as you are being filled with the love of God, as you do everything you can to come to in a fellowship with the prayer of Jesus, besides this, you know the time. Say to the person next to you, it's about time.
It's about time.
It's about time. It's about smack. It's about time. What time is it? It's about time. The hour has come for you to wake from sleep.
Amen.
Tell it to the person next to you, wake up.
Wake up.
literally, wake up. Literally, wake up. It's about time. The time has come for you to wake up from sleep. We're talking here spiritual sleep. Again, Pastor Johnny, I'm a good person, and I'm working hard. I'm being faithful to my marriage, and I'm being faithful to my children. Yes, yes, you are, and I'm faithful to my assignment. There's my son. Yes, you are a good person. But know the time. Don't be sleeping when you should be awake. The hour has come. And again, if you are being fed, if you have a food on your stomach, if you have a clothes to wear, if you have a place to sleep, does that make you happy? No. Not especially selfish. Just because you're taking care of this physical, the flesh side of the aspect of your body, that does not make you happy. Why? Because we are spiritual beings. The God is greater as a spiritual being. God is spirit. So unless you're being fed on your spiritual aspect of it, you will not be happy. So that being said, when you come to the house of the Lord, you get soaked in the presence of God. Then you call out the name of the Lord because you're hungry for the love of God.
Amen.
Oh, let those have ears, let them hear what the Spirit is speaking to you.
Amen.
When we are being quiet before the Lord, the culture is trying to put a tag on us. Oh, Pastor Johnny, that's just a culture, American culture. We don't pray out loud. We don't praise out loud. Oh, we don't get on our knees as when you pray. We don't raise our hand when we praise. Desires of flesh. Constantly telling us, you are wrong, I'm right. Your truth is good for you. My truth is good for me. That is your love definition you believe. My definition of love is different. You hear me? You hear me how based on, again, all of us are living in different life stages and come up and have a different understanding, different the knowledge and level and such that so all of us have a different thoughts. And then the scripture says, before the word of God, we stay still and be submissive. Know the hour. Know the time that we're living in. The world is telling us, don't wake up. Just do what you gotta do. Constantly be a good person. Just do your thing. Just keep sleeping. I feel like I'm about to fall. The hour has come for you to wake up from sleep, for salvation is near to us. And now that when you first believe, say to the person next to you, or the person behind you, say, salvation is near. Say to the person behind and front, salvation is near.
Salvation is near.
Salvation is near. Salvation is near to us that we first believe.
Yes.
Salvation is not just you take it to heaven. a lot of us thinking salvation is just believing Christ, so now I go to heaven, so I'm good. No, salvation is more than just a ticket to heaven. Salvation is a holistic of it. The salvation, it means, let me just proclaim it this way. The Jesus salvation is, when I say Jesus, you can substitute that in your mental image, to substitute that into salvation, all right? When I say Jesus is a healer, then the salvation is a healer. When Jesus is a redeemer, when Jesus is a comforter, when Jesus is a rescuer, when salvation is the holistic of everything, not just your ticket to heaven. What does that mean? That we have to declare Jesus over our problems. We have to declare Jesus over our life. We have to declare Jesus over our brokenness. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? You know, when we are being quiet, it's never cute. That's what the world is. That's what the Satan is telling us to do. Be quiet. Stay quiet. Don't talk about Jesus. Don't talk about life. Don't you even proclaim. How do you know that's going to happen? But we say, by the believers in Christ Jesus, by the faith, we declare in the name of Jesus, he shall be done, because I am a child of God.
Amen.
According to the faith, says Jesus. Every time before Jesus healed a person with the blind, with the deaf, or the mute, and Jesus, do you believe that I can do this? Jesus is not asking if he's that person that knows who he is. Jesus is asking, do you have a faith? Jesus says, I know I'm capable, but do you believe that? Do you have faith that I can do it? Mm-hmm. And it is the faith that we declare in Jesus' name. But what is world is doing right now? We're blaming God. We're blaming our problems. We're blaming our spouse. We're blaming even our own selves. When Jesus says, just declare the power of the Holy Spirit. Just declare the power of the blood of Jesus Christ over your life. We're living in time. The salvation is nearer. We are living in time. The hour has come to wake up from sleep. And generations are still not crying out to you. We're so close, and yet we're so busy still, not awakened from sleep, spiritual sleep. Salvation is so nearer, and yet we only still believe that salvation is the only way to heaven. Salvation is not just salvation is not escape from this world, church. Hear this out. Salvation is declaring over this brokenness right now, too. In our weaknesses, but God's power, God's grace is made sufficient and perfect, says Paul. God wants to declare over our weaknesses. God asks us to declare the love of God over you. God asks us to declare the love of God. He said, you know, I am beloved child of God. Enemy, you have no place over my life. My family is a family of Christ. You have no authority. You have no authority over our family. This relationship, this brokenness, these issues that try to separate us, to try to preach into our, I declare right now in the name of Jesus, be God, say to you, I don't know you.
Yeah.
That is what God is asking us to. If you are a child, do you believe me, says Jesus? Do you really believe me, says God? Then if you so, then show your faith. Verse 12. Night is far gone. The day is at hand.
Hallelujah.
And then let us cast off the works of the darkness and put on the armor of light.
Hallelujah.
Cast off the works of the darkness. How do you cast out the darkness? What did I just told you now? Declare by the word of God, by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, we declare over our over life, and we declare that we will cast out the darkness, and then we'll not only that, we will have to put on the armor of light. Ephesians chapter 6, if you brought your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Through 18, so important. I'm just going to proclaim over you, and you read along with your eyes. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. Listen to the word of God. Engrave it to your heart as God's word to you.
Finally, be strong in the Lord in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against the flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, children, listen to me. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil days, having done all to stand firm. But how? Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of the truth, and having on the breastplate of the righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, and having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Did you just hear me? There is a faith that you can distinguish. And take up the helmet of salvation. Don't you ever lose that God holds you. Don't you ever lose that God loves you, that Jesus loves you. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Oh, you want to fight? This is a spiritual battle. If you want to fight against the cosmic, the power, the spiritual forces of evil, make sure you have the weapon that is the word of God. Hallelujah. Praying all at all time in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication to that end. Keep alert with all perseverance, making the supplication for all the saints. Amen and amen. God has given us and telling us to wear the full armor of God. Put on, when you look at verse 14, skip down to verse 14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. So when I said to put on the whole armor of God, it means put on Christ Jesus. Amen. Cover yourself by the blood of Jesus. Declare the cleansing power of the blood of Christ Jesus. Declare the almighty power of God's word over you. Having the helmet, fasten on the belt. Putting on the shoes of the gospel. Wherever you go, wherever this leg, these feet leads you, make sure the gospel is being shared and proclaimed. Don't you ever to try to do it on your strength, because it is the Holy Spirit that's within you that will protect you and lead you and help you. So rely on the Spirit. Rely and ask God for the wisdom as you go. Put on Christ Jesus. And I pray this morning that all of us will put on the Christ Jesus. All of us, all our families, all our children will wear and put on the Christ Jesus. It is the Christ Jesus who has died at the cross. It is Christ Jesus who has risen. Tell to the person next to you, you are a victor. You are victorious. Say to the person next to you, you are a victor.
You are a
victor. You are not a failure. You are not a failure. You are victorious. In closing, verse 13, let us walk properly as in the day's time. Let us walk properly. Not in orgies, drunkenness, not in sexual immorality, sensuality, not in quarreling or jealousy. Again, and then I pray that you didn't read that part again as a law. Oh, wait a minute, I don't drink, so I don't get drunk. Oh, I don't do the, so I'm good. I don't have jealousy. I don't quarrel with the love of God. It flow out of you. How does your life come alive? By fulfilling the God's law, but you must do it out of love of God. Be in love of Christ. And we're going to pray in a minute. Today is about being soaked in the love of God. As you pray, get soaked in the love of God. Your problems, your struggles, your issues, your mediocre lives has no
You have no idea what you're about to do in your life. Please get soaked in the love of God. And the Holy Spirit will lead you, teach you, convict you, and give you peace. Amen, amen. Let's pray.